Just sounds like a disease, Martha Heat. That's like, hey, I got a Martha Heat half.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Sappening Podcast.
Sappening!
Sappening!
You are listening to episode 195 of Sappening Podcast featuring myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards. How are you going to do the fucking puns? Go on, boy.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards. And this week, we're stepping into the ring with a powerbomb explosion of wrestling, pop punk, and Welsh mayhem.
Crap. Yes, this week's guest is Welsh wrestling titan, WWE sensation, all-round fucking good egg, and she's someone I have genuinely seen fight grown men, and I've seen her take punches that would have made me cry. This week's guest is Nixon Newell, the Welsh murderer. That's the name I've just given her. So-
Yes, the girl with the shiniest wizard in all of professional wrestling, Nixon Newell, has spent the last decade traveling the globe, kicking ass, and making a name for herself, while always representing her love for pop punk, Marvel, and the Welsh flag in the process. She signed to the WWE in 2017 under the name Tegan Knox, stealing the show multiple times as part of their NXT and SmackDown rosters, having memorable feuds with the likes of Dakota Kai, appearing in the Royal Rumble and brightening up screens every time she performed, before unexpectedly getting released last November as part of the company's famous mass budget cuts during the pandemic. Ever since, Newell has been a free agent with a lot of rumors speculating her next move, and we were very lucky enough to sit with her to get the lowdown of what's going on, her wrestling journey, and why music has always been a huge part of her life. This is one of the only interviews she's done since the release as well, so we really appreciate her for that. But Sean, Nixon is just someone we have seen grow in her wrestling journey from performing at bingo halls to one of the biggest franchises in the whole of sports.
Yeah, like we talk about further in this, like I got back into it like 2015 and I started going to local shows because Mark Andrews from Jr. invited me along, and the level of quality of wrestling was better there than anything I saw on WWE at the time. And now to see all of those people being in the four corners of Earth, their highest points in the biggest companies in the world is absolutely mental. Like, when you go through the roster of everybody, it was like Pete Dunne, Mark Andrews, Chris Brooks, Kyle Fletcher, and Mark Davis. I saw Will Ospreay there, Nixon Newell, / Tegan Knox was always one of the brightest stars to come out of that. And yeah, when I say I've seen a fight, man, I genuinely mean I've seen fully grown fellas jumping on her head.
No, but it's just been incredible to see her journey from Valleys of Wales to Orlando, Florida. And really, we talk about everything from the heights of her time in WWE to the day of her release. Why we haven't seen her wrestle since. Being a pop punk kid, incorporating things like Harry Potter, Captain Marvel, and Assassin's Creed into her gear, embarrassing herself in front of Stephanie McMahon, how she thinks WWE will change with Triple H in creative control, working out with Brie Larson, and appearing in the music video Veronica for our friends in the band Junior, while laughing at Sean almost breaking his back.
That's really funny. I nearly fucking died. I'm in pain to this day. It hurts, especially when it's cold. To anybody that's not Welsh, this does get pretty, pretty Welsh at some point. So I don't mean we'll go into the Welsh language, even though at some points you might be so lost thinking they've slipped into a different language. We haven't. It's just English, but with a Welsh accent. So yeah, we had a great time. Thank you very much to Nixon. And yeah, thanks for the entertainment over the years and putting your body on the line for us and for our entertainment, because I fucking loved watching you and you are killing it. And I cannot wait. Cannot wait to see what happens next.
But of course, before we get into the conversation, a quick reminder that if you enjoy these podcasts and what we do, please support us via our Patreon page, patreon.com/sapnin. There are loads of extra content and bonuses over there in return for you signing up and for your support. And it generally helps us make these podcasts and conversations each and every week. But without any further ado, let's get in to the wonderful conversation with Nixon Newell, pro wrestling athlete, on episode 195 of Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
Sapnin! Yes! This week's guest is Welsh wrestling titan, pop punk enthusiast, and I've seen her beat grown men up in a church in Bristol. Yes! This is a fantastic, fantastic Nixon Newell. How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Yeah. I'm alright, yeah. It's a bit warm, like. Yeah. Where are you at the moment?
I'm in Orlando still. If I leave, I can't come back, so I have to stay here for a while.
Oh, what?
Has that been like trouble with visas and stuff like that? Or
yeah, so I've been trying to get my green card for the last 8 months, and I'm in landlocked right now, so if I leave, then I can't come back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's been a boring 8 months, but, you know, living in Orlando, so it's fine. Just go to Disney World every day.
That's true, yeah. Probably about the same temperature you know as well at the moment, I think, because it's...
I think so, from what my sister was telling me. She got a hell of a tan, farmer's tan, all of the man.
Is that being just literally Orlando? You can't leave that? Or is it, can you, like, stay in Florida? Like, what's the whole...
Like, I can stay in America, I just can't leave the state. But, you know, not having a job, you're still stuck in... Like, I can't even travel for that, so...
Well, we appreciate you taking the time to do this and everything, but like, there's so much we want to talk about, because obviously the last few months has been quite of a whirlwind for you since your release from WWE back in November. But online, you've kind of been low-key. You've been posting a little bit on social media. You haven't really done many interviews since, and you haven't wrestled in quite a while as well. So if you can just give us kind of like the lowdown, what's been going on kind of behind the scenes with all that? I mean, what's kind of just been going on in life?
So basically, because I haven't got the visa or the green card, I can't wrestle. So, you know, I keep getting messages, have you retired? Have you done this? No, I just can't. Legally, I can't. So, you know, I've just been chilling in the house, playing video games, going to Sad Summer Fest a couple of weeks ago, which was phenomenal. But yeah, just been chilling with my dogs, chilling with the friends and stuff, and usual stuff that I can do without working.
Nice. Well, yeah. How was Sad Summer Fest? Who did you go see?
It was so good. Neck Deep were there, water parks. Oh my God. There's just like so many people there. The only ones I was sad that they came on later on in the tour was, oh shit. See, that's wrestler brain fear. One of my favorite bands. I'm like, what is happening? Against the Current, they were supposed to be there, but then they started later on in the tour, and I was like, bastards. You were neck deep, but you fucking ruined it. Goddamn. But it was so good. So how they did during the Florida heat, I don't know, because it was like 40 degrees. It was ridiculous.
Is it weird seeing a kind of Welsh, well, I'm going to call them kind of Welsh band.
Yeah.
Because as much as they are from Wrexham, I don't count Wrexham as Wales, right?
It's half and half, isn't it? It's like you can dip your water in either.
It's almost Liverpool. Wrexham is almost Liverpool.
Almost.
But was it weird seeing them over there?
It was. So I saw Neck Deep over there before when they were opening for Blink. I was like, that was a great concert, but... Yeah, it was weird seeing them so like it's home in Orlando. That's crazy. So it was really cool and like they killed it. They're one of them bands that like are so good live that it's hard to like they just can't do anything wrong.
Yeah,
you know?
It's hard to deny them because they're so good.
Well, obviously you're a massive pop punk and emo music fan outside of everything you do, and I know you kind of try to incorporate those kind of bits into the wrestling and stuff as much as you can, but like, yeah, what were some of the bands just kind of growing up while getting into the business and all that you kind of enjoyed and you've kind of grown up with?
Oh, well, I was always like a big Blink fan, Green Day, all that kind of stuff, like, and then I met Mark and he started to introduce me into like different like little bands, and you know, I found Neck Deep. I think I was just on YouTube, I was like, oh, let me just listen to some music, and then it came on the shuffle. I was like, what the fuck is this band? So it's just gone from there. But I was always like a big Blink fan growing up, with like, that's why I always try to wear nice bright colors when I'm wrestling, because it's very like, I'm depressed but I love colors.
Now, do you know what, I can't say that's true for me.
No.
I am very depressed but I hate colored clothing, so there you go. Yeah, I'm just constantly in black. Like, it's...
See, I'm in white and a Mr. Blobby shirt, bright colours, you know?
Oh, is it a Mr. Blobby shirt?
Yeah.
I bet you get some funny looks in America wearing that.
Oh, right? Yeah, they don't understand. And when I show them, they get creeped out. I'm like, how dare you? How dare you be insulted by such British royalty?
Yeah, well, funnily enough, I watched a clip the other day of Noel's House Party. And when you look back at it now, Mr. Blobby is a mad, weird character.
Oh, he's a fiend.
He just turns up, smashes the place up, and then
and then like gropes people, and you're like, oh, that wouldn't fly these days.
No. That's got to be a weird video to show people over there as well.
Oh, it is, yeah, but it's funny. Just seeing their reactions and they're just traumatized. I'm like, this was my childhood. Enjoy.
Anything goes in Noel's house, though, apparently. Like,
apparently.
It's just free for all. But can you talk a bit about how you got into wrestling, how you got your start, where you trained and stuff?
Yeah, so I started watching wrestling when I was, God, I think I was like four. Like, so I was super young. My granddad used to have her on the TV all the time. And my nan did appreciate that. She'd always smack him with the newspaper and stuff when it was on.
Did he sell the newspaper?
Oh, God, no. He was a Valleys man. He don't sell shit.
He's not having it. No. Yeah, does that make Valleys wrestlers worse? Because they're just like, no, nah, I'm not selling nothing, but no.
Especially when you're wrestling like Hitch and you hit him, you're like, oh, it's just like hitting a brick wall and I want to sell more because it really hurt me.
fair enough. But yeah, sorry to interrupt.
It's all good. But no, I started watching with him, and then... I did take like a year or so off from wrestling when he passed away in 2005. And I was like, well, I don't want to watch this anymore. There's no one to watch it with. And then I just happened to turn around. And I was like, well, that's pretty good, isn't it? Still quite good. And then I just carried on watching wrestling since then. And then I found a school in Port Albert. So that was like an annoying drive every so often. Like,
oh, yeah.
An hour and a half, 2 hour drive.
It's worse now, though. It's worse now because the last half hour of it is... the last 20 minutes of it is all average speed cameras now, so you can only do 40 mile an hour towards Port Albert. Because of pollution! Port Albert, mine! The steelworks! You've got to do 40 because of pollution! It doesn't make sense!
You walk in, you drive in, you just see the big towers with the smoke. Can I, like, how is my car affecting this?
It's mad.
Oh, my
bunker.
God.
But yeah, sorry, I have nightmares.
You can tell he does this
Albert.
Drive a lot. He does this drive a lot, and it really annoys him.
I'd be miserable now. I'm glad I don't live in Wales.
That's where I wear a lot of black. Look, I'm depressed and I wear a lot of black.
Oh, no. But I went to school then. It was like once a month training. and Hitch was the trainer. I was like, oh, okay, this is cool. Like, Hitch is really, really good, but it's like once a month. I want to do it more. And I found a school in Newport then. So I was like, oh, great. 30 minutes from my house. Let's just do that one. And that's where I met Mark Andrews. And then Hitch was also training there, and Pete Dunne. And then it just took off from there. Then I was wrestling then every week. Me and Mark became a tag team, and I beat up Mark. So it's just from there, it just escalated from once a month to training every week with these guys, and then beating them up in, like you said, churches, you know?
Yeah, literally. Yeah, well, we've seen you wrestle and beat up people in all sorts of bingo halls and all that back in the day with like Attack Pro and everything. I'm sure just kind of looking back at those days and see how far you've come, but so many others that you trained with and around with at that time must just be insane.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. Just seeing, like, we all, like, technically we all grew up together, you know? We were all wrestling together for 5-6 years before that, and some of them even longer. So seeing us all succeed was such a nice feeling, and, like, tuning into NXT UK and seeing Mark do some stuff and, you know, Eddie do stuff. It's really cool to see, and seeing Hitch come back from the knee as well. I'm like, oh, I feel that one. But yeah, no, just seeing everyone succeeding is real nice, and hopefully I'll be joining them soon again.
Yes, I remember, because I kind of lost my way with wrestling when my band started doing all right. I kind of just focused on that, didn't really do much else. But then WrestleMania 30 that got me back into it, I think. And then we started going, oh, do you know what? Let's start going to local shows or whatever. And Mark invited me down. And then I just remember getting into that. And then like PWG at the time was insane. And you look at all of those things now, and like all of those people are where they want to be. It's fucking nuts when all of those people, like, it blows my mind to this day. It's like people don't understand that, yeah, we were in church halls and bingo halls. And then these wrestlers then I'm seeing on TV, and I'm like, fucking, that's mad.
Yeah.
It's just bonkers. I just find it nuts. And congratulations to everybody.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, I remember ripping up that bingo hall for people to have shows in there. As in, they're throwing chairs around and with sledgehammers and stuff. So it's nice seeing them go from that, even though I do miss the bingo hall, to like now it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, that bingo hall in Cates has a lot of humble memories. But just like on those early days as well, like, was it quite weird getting into the business and they're having like a lot of question marks around it? Because I think with music and bands, you can kind of see the behind the scenes of the industry a little bit more, and that, you know, putting songs out and making albums, maybe record deals and playing gigs, all that kind of thing. But with wrestling, I mean, there is a lot of question marks on how to go from the beginning to getting signed or to touring or doing a load of indies. So was it just kind of trying your best, seeing what works out and just being open to a lot of things?
I mean, pretty much, yeah. I mean, I was lucky enough to be with the group that I was with, Attack and stuff, and they always give me a good platform to, you know, express myself and do what I wanted to do. But then, you know, also having those guys train me and teach me stuff, I felt very lucky and privileged in a sense of I felt like I had a better platform to get myself noticed. So I generally think if it wasn't for those guys, I wouldn't be anywhere near to where I am right now or as successful as I've been. But yeah, it's just literally just have to just try everything. You can't just be like, oh, I'm going to do this one thing and that's it. Like, no, you have to be willing and open to change, because the one thing that you're doing might not be working. But then someone could be pretend to be a clown and it could be working for them, you know? So it's just being open to doing things and making a fool of yourself. So.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah. Do you remember the first time that WWE got in touch with you or showed any interest or whatever?
Yeah, it was really weird. I was up in Wolverhampton and I had an email through and it was like, hi, this is William Regal. I was like, yeah, all right, never mind. I was like, all right, boys, you're a bit of a piss take there. But he was like, no, we want to invite you for a tryout. Like, here's the official invite to the tryout. It's like on, I think it was like end of October 2015, I think. 15 or 16, one of the two. And then it was up in Glasgow. So then I just had to go up into Glasgow and whatever stadium's in Glasgow. I can't remember, shite. It was like 40 of us with one ring, just trying to stand out. And luckily I was one of the ones to stand out and then went over to America and then swiftly followed by a lot of the other boys and girls and stuff like Viper or Piper Niven or Dewdrop, whatever you want to call it, came over swiftly after. So it's nice to see the familiar faces from the tryout as well doing cool stuff.
And that's one of the things I think not a lot of people realize in wrestling is that there's such unique friendships and bonds that are made because you're traveling on the road together and you're trusting each other in the ring with your lives, essentially. And you can see that with all the friendships you've made just from the early days to getting into WWE and independence around the world. It must be quite nice to look back at that and as well, and that away from the profession, you've made lifelong friends this way.
Oh, 100%. And it's nice to know, like, wherever we travel, we always have a friend there because we wrestle people from all around the world. So, you know, it's nice, but then it's also heartbreaking as well when you do have to move so far across the world and you don't get to see half the people that you grew up with or trained with. And but yeah, it's nice having that bond because you always have that just that nice fallback and like the safety net. Like when I got released, I had Viper and Katie Ray and Stevie at my door within 10 minutes of it happening.
Wow.
So it's nice to have like that kind of bond with people.
Can we ask about that kind of just the day of being released and everything? Because I saw it online. There was so much love and support being shown for you in particular, especially from all the women in WWE and NXT and stuff at the time. And yeah, I'm sure a very emotional day, but it seems like you kind of had the friends there to kind of get you through it.
Yeah, it was a weird day because it happened when I was at a pub. So I got a couple of drinks and then I had the phone call that said, you know, you're being released. I was like, oh, well, shit. Okay, cool. It's what it is.
Oh, fuck off. Leave it out. I'm on the fucking piss. Call me tomorrow.
Call me tomorrow. I'll be fine. I'll accept it then. It's all right. But no, it was just like, it was really weird. Like, there was a lot of other stuff that went on and stuff that, you know. But I had the phone call. I was like, okay, cool, is what it is. And then I had a text within minutes of that saying, we're coming to get you, we're coming to pick you up off Kaylee and Viper. And there they were. As soon as I got home from the pub, they were already outside. They just took me straight in their car. We went back to Viper's house and carried on getting pissed.
I was going to say, yeah, they turned up at your house and they were like, right, back to the pub. You were going to the pub.
It was a very British way of reacting.
But at that time, obviously, there was a lot of releases coming in that kind of pandemic era and, you know, due to budget cuts was the official reason. I mean, just behind the scenes, was it coming more apparent that these things were going to happen so it wasn't much of a shock every time you'd see something like this? Or I'm sure it was still kind of a really dreadful thing to experience.
Yeah, so I don't know why, but I had this feeling that I was going to be one of the budget cuts. Just in my stomach, I was like, oh, I'm going to be one of them. Just like every time it passed without me, I was like, okay, I'm in the next one. Oh, I'm in the next one. I'm in the next one. And when I was in it, I was like, kind of expected it. So it was upsetting, but it wasn't a surprise. I was like, okay, cool. Like, this is it. Now I'll go on to the next chapter in my life. I'll do this. I'll do this. I'll do this. But honestly, like, I had such a good time in WWE. Like, I would be more than happy to go back one day, you know, but it's just a timing thing now, I guess. Like, I gotta get my visa sorted and make a name for myself again. So, and then hopefully our roads will cross again one day.
Well, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure now with, you know, the new chap in charge. I don't know who he is. The new guy. I don't know who he is.
Well, yeah, let's stick to the positive spirits and the memories of everything, because like, obviously getting to WWE is a lifelong dream for you anyway, so I'm sure that in itself was kind of insane. But there's so many crazy things you got to do, where stealing the show on NXT TakeOvers to go into the main roster, being in the Royal Rumble. You even met your idol Molly Holly.
Yeah.
And I'm sure just kind of those experiences are ones that you would never imagine actually would have come to fruition.
No, that was, you know, I've had some phenomenal memories there, and I've met some of my best friends and stuff. So that's all, I'm always super grateful for that. But, you know, being in the Royal Rumble for me was the biggest and best thing ever, even though it wasn't very long. It was still, I was still in there, you know, and it was, that was like my grandfather's favorite pay-per-view of all time, which is why being in the Royal Rumble meant so much to me. So, you know, and then getting to do, you know, mine and Dakota's whole rivalry was so much fun. And being in the last takeover before COVID hit in front of, you know, all those thousands of fans was super cool. And I just got so many, I got more fun memories there than I do have negative. Like, the negatives are minimal in compared to everything that I got to do, and, you know, had so much fun there. And yeah, it's just got to do a lot of cool stuff. And then meeting Molly Holly and making a fool of myself by crying. that happens as well. But it was cool. It was really cool.
Yeah. Well, when you met Molly Holly, obviously they had cameras on you thinking you were filming something else. I mean, were you kind of glad that they captured that moment in a way? Or were you kind of like a little bit upset that your reaction was just so raw there because it was so unexpected?
I'm glad they caught it, because I've got that memory forever now, not only in my head, but I have it, like, physical evidence that it happened. But they told me I was filming, like, an intro for Evolution. I was like, oh, okay, cool, that's a bit of salt in the wound. I'm on frigging crutches, yeah, like, that's a bit rude. But then, like, all of a sudden, like, I saw Candace, because she was next to me, take out her phone, and I was like, why is she taking out her phone, like, pointing it towards me? And then, like, she tapped me on the shoulder. I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. And then just sobbed. But I'm glad they captured it, because now, like I said, I have it. Like, I can look at a picture or look at the video and be like, oh, yeah, no, I met this really incredible woman that helped shape my childhood. And now I'm sobbing in front of her like an absolute loser.
That's amazing. Oh, it's such a good story. I love stuff like, it's like when we get bands on, we always ask them, like, is there a moment where you've met your heroes or anything like that? And it's always the same. Like, it's such a brilliant, uplifting story to see these people that we all admire and are inspired by, like yourselves. Yeah, we get to see, like, you, like, beaming like a child.
Yeah.
It's mad. It's mad. It's like, yeah. Do you remember, like, the first legend or somebody like that that you met or wrestled?
Oh, I didn't really get to wrestle many, like, old WWE people or old wrestlers when I was on the indies. Like, I wrestled Awesome Kong. Was fun to wrestle.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Yeah, she was really fun. She just didn't give a shit. She was like, yeah, yeah, let's do this. Can I throw you? I'm like, I have no choice if you want to throw me or not. You're throwing me, I'm gone. I wrestled Melina, which was pretty cool. Yeah, like, I didn't get to wrestle many legends or all WWE people, unfortunately. But
is there one you would have loved to have?
Yeah, I would have liked to wrestle Mickey James. That would have been cool. Obviously, Molly Holly and stuff. But I don't know why, because I met her at Evolution and she's like, She was really nice to me and so like funny. Ivory, I'd love to wrestle Ivory, ooh, but like, you know, right to censor Ivory, that kind of thing would have been friggin' amazing.
Yeah. It just must be surreal when these were literally women that inspired you to get into the business and now you're just kind of hanging out with them or wrestling them or, you know, taking selfies backstage. Just this.
Oh, it's mental. Like at Evolution, I was sat in catering and all of a sudden you see like Trish walk past and then the Bell Twins and you see Ivory and Molly Holly. And I'm just like going, I don't know if these pain pills that I'm on right now because the surgery are just really, really good or like... These people are actually walking past me. It was both. It was both. They were both good and people walking past.
Little column A, little column B.
Have you ever had a very like embarrassing moment in front of someone that younger you would be like, oh, I can't believe I just did that in front of so-and-so?
Yeah, probably Stephanie McMahon. That was a weird one. So I was coming in for rehab on my knee the first time and she's on the bike, the cross bike. And, you know, I'm like, I've got to go say hello. It's Stephanie McMahon. I can't not say hello. So I woke up to her and I was like, hey, it's so nice to meet you. She's like, hey, I'm Stephanie. And I just went, ha, that's just like my name. And then I just looked at her like, oh, God, and just walked away. And she's there laughing. I'm like, that's so embarrassing.
Have you spoken about it since?
No.
Oh.
No.
I did something very similar. Brian May. I met Brian May and he came on to me. He was like, oh, I'm Brian. And I went, Hab-a-dab-a-dab-a-dab-a. And he moved on. And I was like, oh, I forgot how to say my name to a man. Nice. Unbelievable. Class. Nice. What a dickhead. What a dickhead. Like,
Well, speaking of Stephanie, obviously she's become one of the co-CEOs of WWE with all the shakeup recently. And Triple H is now kind of running things behind the scenes creatively. Obviously, your time there, there seemed to be such a close bond between you and Triple H in NXT, when all the Mae Young Classic stuff, and someone who really helped you with your career. What is he actually like to work with behind the scenes in that kind of mental role? And how much do you think things will be different with him in charge behind the scenes?
Oh, he's honestly, and I'm not just saying this because, you know, like... He's Triple H. He is genuinely one of the most kindest people that I've ever met. Like, he just wants everyone to succeed and he takes everyone under his wing and he helps you in any way that he can. And, you know, like when you're in a storyline, you have ideas and then you pitch them to him. He's like, maybe we could do that, but if we just like change a little bit, like he's so smart in making things connect that it's mind-blowing, like seeing how successful NXT was back in the day is all because of that man's brain power. Like he is so smart and just, he cares about everyone. He genuinely cares about everyone as if we're all his children, which is amazing. And, you know, I've been trying to show him a picture when I was there. I've got on my phone, it's me as a child in a Triple H t-shirt. Like, just aww. Like, oh. And every time I went to show him, I was like, never mind, because you like me right now, so I'm not going to show you that in case you change your mind and think I'm a weirdo.
I'm sure he wouldn't, though.
No.
I'm sure he would.
Probably not. No, he'd probably think it's really funny, but I was like, oh, I'm not going to risk it. But honestly, he's so nice. And like, he didn't have to come up to me when I got hurt. He didn't have to do anything like that. And, you know, he rang me the day after surgery and was asking me how I was. You know, he's always checking in on me. And he just generally cares, which is a rarity sometimes. Like he genuinely does care about people and wants people to succeed, which is amazing.
Do you think that's going to benefit a lot of people's just kind of day-to-day relationships now with him kind of being at the forefront of things?
I think so. I think it's going to change for the better. You know, like we saw in NXT, like I said, years ago, women were getting time. We were getting a lot of time to wrestle. And, you know, a couple of my comments were taken from a different interview and misconstrued by fans and say, because I said that, you know, wrestling is going back to the diva era, but people misconstrued that. I didn't mean like the diva era, like women having 3 minutes, you know, we were having 3 minute matches, 2 minute matches, 5 minutes, but before we were having frigging WrestleMania main events. So like people very much misconstrued and created their own answer that I give. So I feel like with Triple H back in charge now, it's going to be, women are going to get that platform again to get the extra time that we deserve, because there's so many talented women in WWE in general, both in NXT and Raw and SmackDown, that, you know, they deserve time and they deserve a platform. I think Triple H is going to be the person to give them that, and Stephanie, because she very much cares about the women.
Well, that's the thing. You've been around in this industry now long enough where you've seen so much change happening across the board, but especially in the way women in wrestling have been perceived and treated and kind of have that spotlight on. I mean, we'll say it again, we've literally seen you beat up grown men in bingo halls, and now you see rosters full of amazing women and talent just doing things every single week. How much change has it really been? Because I'm sure when you were kind of getting into those kind of lessons in schools, that you were one of maybe only a couple of women there at the time.
Yeah, it's crazy how much has changed. Like you said, I was one of the very few women to be wrestling in the UK, and now seeing an entire scene in the UK, like with Eve, they have full women shows, which is amazing. And that's happening around the world now, which is so cool. And, you know, even I watched NXT the other day for the first time in a while, and just seeing some of the women on there, you're like, shit, like half these women didn't start wrestling until like a year or so ago, and they're already moving like this, and they're already so talented and clicking onto this, that it's, you know, the scene's only going to get bigger and better. I truly believe that. I feel like we're going in an upward trajectory right now. So it'll be cool to see how much it changes in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years, and just seeing everyone else like succeed, and who comes out of the woodwork will be cool to, hopefully they get another evolution, because that'll be fun to watch, because now they have so many women that are incredible.
Oh, so yeah, they've got to be doing another one very soon, surely.
You'd think. And like even with AEW, like they're doing some cool stuff with the women. You know, they got Toni Storm now, one of my best friends, and she's killing it. So it's good to see that there's so many platforms for women now that are just giving the women what they deserve, and it's a nice change.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. Some of these matches are stealing the show now. They deserve to be the main event. I mean, you know, the whole thing with kind of Becky Lynch headlining WrestleMania was such a huge moment in itself. But kind of in those locker rooms, when things like that happen, is that just kind of a light for even more hunger, wanting to be the best you can be and kind of throw those ideas around and kind of step out from anything that's happened before?
Oh, 100%. Like, it's not a jealousy thing. Like, no one, we're all really happy for each other succeeding. But you also be like, I want that next. Like, that's what I want to do now. So they light a fire under your ass, and it's like, okay, cool, they've done it. Now I want to be the next in line. I want to be the next in line. It's just, you just see women helping each other to reach that goal. And it's cool to see. It really is. Like, you'd expect jealousy and like catty behavior, but it's generally not. We all want each other to succeed, because, you know, women were never really given the good end of the stick years ago, and now it's coming back to women are kicking ass again.
Yeah. And going back to, as I said earlier, you all seem so supportive with each other in this day and age, especially kind of on social media and just highlighting how great work you've all done each week. I mean, you've already talked about your incredible rivalry with Dakota Kai, which I think the two of you are just really proud of. But who else would you say just over your career as being that staple point and giving you maybe advice, or just someone who's kind of being a ride or die in many ways?
I've got quite a few, which I'm really lucky for. Like, Candice LeRae has been a big support system for me for many years. Like, ever since I met her in Nottingham a couple of years ago in 2015, I think it was. She's been one of my closest friends. Like, we call each other family. So she's helped me a lot. Kaylee Ray is another one. Viper, like Alex Windsor, who, you know, is finally coming back and, you know, kicking ass in the UK and over in Japan, which is so good to see, because she deserves it more than most people after everything she's been through. But yeah, no, just having like, I'm just lucky that I have so many. And if I'm having a down day, I can text someone and just be like, hey, this is happening. And within minutes, I'm going to text back off any of them. Even someone as scary as Shayna Baszler, you know, she's there. Like, if I'm having a bad day, I'll just text her, "What's up, boy?" Or like, "I'm having this." And she'd be like, "Oh, okay, cool." And we'll just talk it out. And, you know, she'll ask me up to go pet her dog and stuff. So it's, you know, it's a good support system. And I'm lucky to have as many as I have, because some people don't have a whole bunch, but I got dealt a good hand.
No, that's incredible to hear. That's really touching. You said there you call Shayna Baszler boyo. I'm sure just kind of you've lived in Orlando now for quite a few years, but you know, you're a Welsh Valleys girl at heart. I'm sure there's many Welsh phrases, lingos, saying mannerisms that just slip out from time to time, and people are a bit confused. Maybe have to ask you about. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of those over the years.
Oh yeah. The most annoying thing, and it's been 5 years, asking for a bottle of water.
Oh, honestly, right.
They're
okay.
Like, "What do you want?" I'm like, "Water." "What? Freaking the rain. That shit. H2O. Give me a bottle of water."
Water.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And you do. Like, I have to put on an accent. Even Dakota, when she's saying her real name, she has to put on an American accent because they don't understand. I'm like, how? How is this a thing? But like, "man" is another one. They don't understand "man." And that's about the amount of time "whose coat's our jacket" has come out. I don't get it. I'm like, "whose coat's our jacket?" I'm like, "whose is that? Whose is that? What is that? It's goddamn." So yeah,
that jacket, who does it belong to?
Yeah. Whose is it? Whose am I going to steal? But no, like, I've been calling Shayna Boyo for like, wow, since 2017, since in Japan. Like, I just, Boyo slipped up and she was like, "Okay, I'm gonna call you Boyo now." So like, that's what she calls me, is Boyo. I'm like, okay, that's weird. I've just taught a killer up to say Boyo.
Literally.
That's awesome though that you're spreading it. Like, I tried my best. Like, when we were touring, there was a band called There for Tomorrow, and the singer Mika, He couldn't get over the sentence. Well, he couldn't even understand what we were saying when we said something was tidy darts. Right. He was like, "Oh, we're on at like 3 p.m. And I was like, "Oh, tidy darts." And he's like, "Tiny dots?" And I was like, "No, tiny dots." And I was like, "Oh, you don't even understand darts. It doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it."
Oh, it's so annoying. Like, you want to just go, "Oh, bless you," but you can't, because you're like, "Oh, I'm in your country. Shit." Yeah.
I just like the idea of you with, like, I don't know, Shawn Michaels backstage and be like, "Oh, right, what it is, yeah?" And
oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, you guess, oh, do that fucking sweet chin music, or what, bet?
Can you
do
that? Oh, sexy boy, come here.
Oh, sexy boy. Oh, if that's not the most Welsh thing. Oh, sexy boy, come here then.
Oh, and I'll be there now in a minute, confuse the shit out of him.
Oh, yeah.
I was in makeup and they were rushing me. I was like, "I'll be there now in a minute." What?
And they're like, "That's seven different times you've just given me. You've given me seven different times of four locations."
Yeah, I'll be there in a second. Just fucking hold on. Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Oh. I love seeing the Welsh out and about. It's fucking brilliant.
Oh, aye. And then you got Mandrews, who just sounds really poshy. Like, you don't even say Welsh things, Mandrews.
Secretoria, I reckon he is. He'll fucking hate that I've said that. I love that.
God, he's going to get very angry at that.
Yeah. Moonsault me, fella.
Well, speaking of Mark Andrews, of course, he's one of those pop punk kids in his band Junior. And something the two of you, Sean and Nixon, you have in common is you've both been in Junior music videos.
We are.
I think mine was much, much more painful than yours, though.
Oh, yeah, I just got to smash it now, like a little therapy session for free.
And I got powerbombed through a table and my legs touched the floor behind me. So that was a first.
Yeah, I remember seeing that going, "Is he alive? Is he all right?"
This is something I wanted to know. Did you see the video that the boys filmed, or have you only seen a music video?
Oh, no, I've seen them both.
I was going to say, I was wondering if it was past drummed, right? Because people were like, "Look at this bell and beer." Because I think I said the sentence, because they were like, "Oh yeah, we need somebody to be powerbombed through a table." And I was like, "Me." And they were like, no. And I was like, "Listen now, if Spike Dudley can get powerbombed as often as he can, if Mae Young can take a powerbomb through a table, Shawnee Smith can do it. Let's go off the top. Ha ha! I was wrong. I couldn't have been more wrong. I'm in pain to this day. And I regret it. It was it was an awful decision. But yeah, yours was a lot cooler than mine as well, because I suffer to this day, which is fun.
So do I, to be honest, for many different reasons. But yeah, I think Mark sent me the music video. I was like, oh, this is fucking sick. He's like, but watch this, and then sent me the video. I was like, oh, is he alive? Have you killed Sean Smith, you fucking idiots? What have you done now?
Because the thing is, there was about 30 people in the room when it was being filmed, and when it happens, it's dead silent, right?
Yeah, that's when you know it's a good one.
A lot of people haven't seen this footage on its own without the music video. When I went through the table, one of the boys went, are you okay? And everything, because I was like, right, when I go through the table, fucking play unconscious, it can't be that hard, Mae Young can do it. Everything, as soon as I touched the floor and my feet touched behind me, right, and I felt the bottom of my back crack, everything in my body was like, oh, you have to try and stand up and run away now. So literally, as I get powerbombed, I hit the thing and my body goes, oh no, and I'm so winded as well, right? And someone goes, are you okay? And I went, no! And then I tried to get up, grabbed the second rope, missed it and fell over. I was like, oh, these wrestlers are gonna fucking love this. Come into our world, is it, you fucking chopsy prick?
And we did enjoy it.
good. Good.
Oh, yeah, you go, bastard. Sean. It's all worth it. It was all worth it.
Do you know
it.
What? I might put, there's a version of it that Mark did when he put the Titanic theme on it.
Yeah.
So like, as soon as I touch the table, like it kicks in or whatever, I might put that up on the Sapnin socials now after, when this goes live, so people can see
it's funny.
The absolute horror. Oh,
it's funny that we know you're alive now. Back then, yeah. Oh, is he all right? But now you're alive, we're like, oh no, it's funny.
Yeah, Mark is still scared that at any moment I'm going to sue Junior. So he better be careful. Get a lawyer. That's all I'm going to say to him.
Yeah, just text him now and again. Today might be the day. And just see if there's a large, just a squirm.
Yeah, every now and again, just text him. Oh, bro, I know you've moved out recently. What's your new address? My lawyers want to send something over.
Yeah.
He did send me the other day, though, like literally 3 days ago, he messaged me. He's clearing out his room because he's moving out. And he went, do you want this? And I don't know why I said yes, but he sent me a Limp Bizkit flag.
There you go.
So I don't think he... I hope he doesn't think this is payment for me having a broken spine. But yeah.
He probably does. He might send you a defend shirt as well. And then he'd be like, oh, we're settled now.
Yeah. Actually, Sean, you owe me a fiver.
Yeah.
Bastard.
Am I right in saying you have the Defend Indie Wrestling logo tattooed on you?
I do, yeah. With amongst of different other things now that, you know, in the 8 months I've accumulated. But yeah, I do.
Well, what else have you got? Have you got any other, what are the other tats?
So I got a robin on a blackbird skull because my grandparents are dead, isn't it? So it's, you know, that's a good skull.
Oh, fuck.
Shit. That was such the Welshest sentence.
Of course, yes. Everybody else listening to this is going to go, oh, fuck.
Yeah,
everybody who's Welsh goes, no, sorry to hear that.
Yeah, no, it is. It's true, though. I text her, I was like, oh, I need something for my granddad. He's dead, so is my nan. Check it. They both like blackbirds and robins. Just stick one on the skull. We good to go. You know? So then I got a deer for my Uncle Buck because, you know, we called him because of the movie. My two puppies on my arm. What else have I got? Oh, I got a big, massive dragon skull on my leg because I didn't want the traditional Welsh dragon. Big skull. I got ghost face on the one leg, it on the other leg, and like the Baba Yaga house from The Witcher on the other leg. So I've accumulated a bunch of them. Oh, my sternum's done. And my sternum done too.
Oh,
do I?
I had a death moth and like all webbing and shit.
Oh, nice.
Wow. Yeah.
Nice. When I was a kid, I wanted to get the old WWE Heavyweight Championship on my belly.
Oh.
You know the winged one? You know the winged one from the 90s? Yeah, oh, it's my favourite. My favourite one, that is. I consider that, but I've seen some plonker on the internet's already done it now, and I was like, ha-ha, glad I didn't do it.
Yeah, no, it looks terrible. I've seen that one too. I'm like, oh, that was a choice. I'd rather just pay him for the belt itself, but like, I'll buy you the real one.
That is true, yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder what's cheaper, an official belt, probably about £400, or getting your stomach, it's probably more to have your stomach tattooed, I suppose.
Well, like, by the person that had that one, then probably not.
but it just seems like you've spent the last 8 months just getting tattooed as much as possible.
Pretty much, yeah. Tattoos and piercings. I've just gone to the races with it. Just like, I haven't got a job anymore. I'll just be covered until someone tells me I can't.
Yep. Might as well. It's a good pastime. But exactly. But yeah, going back to that Junior music video you featured in the track Veronica, how was that experience for you? Because growing up a huge wrestling and music fan, I'm sure that was kind of cool to kind of go into that world and be a star of a music video.
It was really cool. Like, I love Junior, and I'm not just saying it because Mark's my friend. Like, I generally think they are a really, really good band, and I've got like the vinyls out there. Mark was like, do you want to be in a music video? I was like, fuck yeah. Like, of course I do. It's like, okay, cool. I'll get in touch with you. And then didn't hear for a while. But yeah, no, then he messaged me the week before and was like, oh, can you do this date? And we're going to do this. We're going to smash it. I was like, fuck yeah, I can do that. Don't worry about it. So then to text Candace, because she's going to be staying in my house that day. She was doing a UK tour. I was like, I have to leave at some point on this Saturday to go and smash it for a music video. You can come and just, chill out. Or you can stay in the house. She's like, I'll just stay in the house. I was like, okay, cool. So I went out for like 6 hours just smashing the shit out of things. And it was great. They gave me a little rounders back. And I had a whale of a time.
Is that kind of stuff something you like want to try and get more into and be in?
I mean, yeah, I'd love to do like, I'm a big like movie and music fan. I'm the least musical person in the world. Like, I can't do shit. There's a guitar there I tried learning. I can't fucking do that. So that's just an office feature now. So just like being in music videos, I'm 100% okay with doing, but I'll just leave the singing and the instruments to everyone else. So if anyone else needs stuff smashed in a music video, just hit me up. I'll have a good go.
Well, nice. all of the Neck Deep boys are massive wrestling fans. So I'm really surprised they haven't done a wrestling music video yet. So you've got to be prime candidate for that.
I'd like to think so. I'd be like, I'm Welsh and I'm a wrestler. Let's do something.
Have you ever spoke to Neck Deep? Have you had any contact with them?
Like, I know Matt a little bit. We met backstage at the Blink concert that they were doing, because he was friends with Jimmy Havoc. So met through them. And then, I messaged him after Sad Summer Fest because I didn't want to be one of those people like, I'm going to be there. Like, fucking give me free shit. Because I don't like that. So I messaged him after. I was like, great set. He's like, you were there. I was like, yeah. Nice.
And he's like, it's a shame I had loads of shit to give you. And he's
like, I'll go to the next one. Where are you? I'll drive.
Literally, don't second guess yourself when it comes to stuff like our bands. Literally just message them, because most of the time they can probably sort it out for you. And it's literally no fucking skin off their nose. Like, it doesn't fucking cost them.
Okay, next time I will. I just want to be like, put me in a music video and I'll use your music as my entrance theme, because I've been trying for years to try and get them to, like, when I was with WWE, I was like, there's this Welsh band, Neck Deep, they're not like, it wouldn't be super expensive if we just buy one of their songs, and it never happened. I was like, fuck. God.
Yeah, there's not many people with kind of original music themes anyway. Mark's allowed to use his Junior one, but I think that's because he basically just gave it away to them and he was like, I'm it, which is great because it's got fucking loads and loads of views because of it, and it's awesome. But yeah, I guess they're really, really tight on that, really, and they want to keep it all in house.
Yeah, like, it's not so much that they're tight, it's just like, they just ask you, like, what's your favorite bands, like, kind of music you like, so you give them a thing, like a little paper of names and stuff, and then they'll go through their stuff because they have like their own composer and stuff, and be like, oh, this kind of sounds like it, do you like this? You can say no, they go, okay, cool, they'll go away, and they'll change if you want, like, oh, add lyrics, they'll be like, okay, cool, we can add some lyrics, da, 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 and they'll just figure it out that way. But I'm like, can we just ask them, they're big wrestling fans, they can give it to you free.
They probably would.
Or you can just get them to write your own theme tune saying how awesome and how badly going to beat people up.
Yeah, I could, but that involves money.
I don't know. I reckon if you got in touch with Neck Deep, I reckon they'd fucking have a bash or something, whether it's giving you a song or writing something. I don't doubt that Matt fucking loves wrestling.
And
surely he wants to hear his band in the fucking WWE library. Surely.
Yeah, when I get my green card and shit, I'll figure it out and be like, hello, you remember me? Do you want to help?
Yeah, I'm going to bug him about it now. I'm going to bug him about it. So,
speaking of that connection between music and wrestling, I think just over the years, really, that's gone hand in hand, especially kind of the alternative world and the influences there. We see so many people in bands who are secretly massive wrestling fans, and you see so many wrestlers turning up at like heavy metal and emo shows and stuff lately. For you, was that just something you were into growing up at the same time? I mean, do you feel that there is a really important connection between the two over the years?
Yeah, I think it's an important connection. I was very much like an emo kid growing up. You know, I had friggin' thick eyeliner, no friends. You know, I was just friggin' absolute loser. And then, you know, I was even more of a loser because I liked wrestling. So, like, all the people in my class were like, oh, we like hip-hop and da-da-da. I'm like, yeah, it's cool and shit, but have you seen these people? Like, we're doing fucking cool shit. And then there's other people that jumped off the top rope. So I was, like, just growing up in, like, two different fan bases. And then when I got to, like, a teenager and started wrestling, I was like, oh, shit, they've meshed together. Like, this is really cool. And then became friends with Mark and then found out he was in a band. And I was like, ah, yeah, this is one and the same. Like, Attack was the pop punk scene of wrestling. I feel we're all just massive losers and love the same sort of music and wrestling and just made it into the one thing, which is really, really cool.
Well, one thing I wanted to bring up as well is that you have such a love for things outside of that and kind of like Marvel, Harry Potter, Assassin's Creed, and you've always been able to incorporate it if it's in kind of like your gear or naming it after moves. That must be such a cool thing when you're able to sneak those kind of influences in there and see the audience who are really into it pick it out and show you the love back.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like when I was doing when I did the Mae Young and I came out in like the Assassin's Creed thing, I also, like, it was the E.B. Fry, like the half Welsh character. So I was like, fuck, she's like my favorite Assassin's Creed character. Maybe I could do a jacket. So we did that. And then seeing people like, oh, fuck, that's Assassin's Creed. Like, that's cool. You know, I was trying to do some movesets around Assassin's Creed, but I can't flip. So that didn't go well. but then, like, you know, with the Captain Marvel stuff, that was surreal because that got so much traction online that it got back to Brie Larson. And then I did an interview with Brie Larson. Like, it was crazy, you know, like just something as simple as, oh yeah, I love like Marvel and everything about it, but like Captain Marvel saved my life and da da da. And then all of a sudden her team is contacting WWE going, hey, can we do something? Which was insane.
Have you had any other major celebrity? Have you met any other major celebrities or anything like this through wrestling?
I don't know. You'd think he'd stand out, but, you know, I've been wrestling since I was 16. It's almost 10 years. My head's just smashed. no, probably Brie Larson was probably the biggest one. I was sad that I just got released before the Jackass people came in because I love Jackass. And then Viper sent me a picture with like Johnny Knoxville and stuff. I'm like, what's a bitch?
Yeah, not resonating at all, but there we are.
Yeah.
You would have loved this. You would have loved
it. Yeah. Look at these people that we both love. I'm like, fuck you.
But yeah, how was that Brie Larson thing? I mean, unless it's just being incredible to meet her and like that.
I was so weird. So like, there was rumblings that something was supposed to be happening, and then I heard nothing for months. And then the week before, they're like, "Hey, so we need you in the PC at this day. We're gonna have an interview with Brie Larson. We're gonna kind of work out with her too, because that's what we're gonna do it as like a WWE superstar works out with a Marvel superhero." And I was like, what the fuck? Like, this has actually happened? Okay, cool. So I go in and she's just there on the other end of the phone. Like, we're doing like a shit, like not a shit workout, but like a tiny little workout. And I'm just like interviewing her and she's just like such a nice person and so down to earth. And I'm just not like this is all about me. She was very much like, no, I want to, this is a conversation. Like, I want to talk to you and learn about you. And like, she was like, oh yeah, I've seen the gears that you've had. And my favorite ones when you had the neon one, I was like, so you don't just like know of me from a picture. You've seen some of my stuff. That's crazy. She's like naming like the color gear I had. And she's like, oh yeah, and you're got an action figure out. I was like, yeah, I do. I was like, how the fuck do you know that?
How was that? Like having that's gonna be
that
fucking
was so
nuts.
Weird. Cause like at the time, because I was injured, I didn't get scanned. So I was like, oh, I'm not getting an action figure. That's fine. Like it'll happen a different time. And then all of a sudden I'm getting friggin' tweets through going, Tika's got an action figure. I'm like, what? It's like, this is ridiculous. And then like just seeing them in, like I walked into a Target and it was just one of me in the front. I was like, wow. This is fucking stupid. Like, who's going to buy me for $10? That's $10. You can scan on like McDonald's or Wendy's or something. What are you doing?
Then have you got one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah,
you have to.
All my friends, yeah. Should be somewhere. I did have a box, but, you know, my mother came over and took them all. So,
fair enough.
As you know, I does
it. Dishing them out to friends and family. Like,
I have no idea who's got any of them. There was about 8 of them in there. She took.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Come on.
For some reason, I thought you were going to say she got you to sign them and now they've gone missing.
She took them. I messaged her a couple of months ago because I needed one to give to someone. And I was like, oh, where did you put? Because, you know, she came into my house and was like, I'm going to move everything. And you're like, oh, all right, yeah. And I was like, oh, where did you put those action figures? Oh, I brought them home. I've given them out.
Well,
all right, yeah. Never mind. But no, just, you know, like seeing that and then being in a video game, that was the most surreal thing because, like, I'm a big video game fan. So seeing that, I was like, this is fucking ridiculous.
Well, a question I've always wanted to ask is about gear. Is like, so when you're at WWE, is it something that is on you to sort out or is it people there? Or because, like, I know when you're on the indies or whatever, you're obviously paying for your own gear. Does that get covered by them then, or do you have to do it again?
No, so you're still paying for it yourself, but like within WWE, they have like 4 or 5 different seamstresses. So, you know, they can work on stuff for you or you can go everywhere else, but it's pretty much whatever you want. Yeah, so it's really cool. Like, that's why I was lucky enough to do the Captain Marvel stuff. You just have to not have things that can be like copyrighted. And like, there's enough changes in my gear where they couldn't copyright it, you know, so it's stuff like that, but. Yeah, they're really lenient with gear and stuff, and you can do whatever you want. It's really cool and refreshing.
Well, I see behind you there's a kind of lot of memorabilia and kind of just action figures and things from films and TV shows and stuff. But like, are you big on keeping sentimental things from matches or kind of other bits of gear and stuff that you've saved away?
Yeah, so I got a big box that's just full of like wrestling gear and stuff, and there's some that, you know, that I'll probably sell in the future or, you know, give away to a charity or something. Then there's some sets of gear I'm like, oh, no, I'm keeping this. Like, I'm keeping the War Games one. And I'm probably going to keep the Iron Man coloured Captain Marvel suit because that was the Royal Rumble gear. But if it's like a sentimental thing, then I'll keep it. If it's just like, oh, it's just a cool color, then I'll just keep it until I find a different use for it. So yeah, just trying to figure out which ones I want to get rid of now because I need to make some space.
Well, as we start to wind down here, we won't keep you too much longer because we appreciate you taking all this time to talk to us. But I mean, obviously we've gone over just so many insane moments from your career and just your journey getting where you are now. And I mean, when you have a chance to look back at everything, is there anything that younger you would just be incredibly proud of or just incredibly blown away by all these experiences you have? I'm sure there's like just full of little moments like that, which you've really hit home.
Honestly, I just think all of them, like I had such an amazing time in WWE and NXT, you know, just even getting here is incredible to me. Like I never thought the girl from friggin' Bargood was going to be in WWE or, you know, even successful in wrestling. So just seeing, you know, I was proud of my stuff I did on the indies. And then I just was lucky enough to come to WWE, have a great time, meet some amazing friends and family, and then, you know, just live an amazing life for 5 years. Unfortunately, the injuries did happen, but I'm very proud of how I came back from them, you know, and, you know, kept working and never give up and just carried on. Like, no, this is what I want to do. So these injuries are not going to stop that. So I think younger me would just be like, maybe don't do so much stupid shit, you know, but other than that, no, I think she'd be very proud of what I've done and everything that I've achieved.
I bet that as well. Like, yeah. We are proud of you, and you don't even know
us.
But I got, yeah, like you said, we saw you wrestle many, many a time, and yeah, to see you now, you know, over there and living your dream and is absolutely fucking amazing. How are you doing injury wise at the moment? Are you 100%?
I feel amazing. You know, like the knees, people are like, oh, knees are always going to be weak. I'm like, no, because you're not a doctor, you don't know that like having ACL surgeries, like your knees are stronger because they're reinforced now. So like my knees feel great. Like my body feels amazing. I'm sure when I start wrestling again, my body's going to hurt for a little while, but you know, I feel amazing right now. And I'm probably in the best shape of my life, which is nice, even though I've just done 8 months of drinking, eating shit, and playing video games.
Fair enough.
Living a dream.
Do you think there'll be a statue of you in Bargo in the next 5 years? It's got to be, isn't it?
Oh, I bloody hope not. I'll get graffiti to shit that.
Oh, yeah. Very true. I didn't think about the people of Bargo down for a second.
Yeah, I just thought about the family. I haven't got a picture of my school.
What?
No, I'm not even got a fucking portrait.
Aww,
who's the most famous person to come from Bargate apart from you?
I don't know. Like, I don't know if he's still a thing. Like, James Fox was a singer for a while, wasn't he?
James Fox.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's you.
It's you. Congratulations.
Price, she's the boxer that went to the Olympics and shit.
Oh, do you know what? Funnily enough, I saw her the other day. I think I had to go to the Bargoed post office to have my passport taken because it's only one of the ones you could have your passport. Driving license.
Driving license.
And her nan were in the post office at the time, and her nan was going, "This is my Lauren. She's just been boxing." And like, I was like, "This is." Have I come to this town where the only celebrity from, you know, one of the only celebrities from this town is there? We're like, what's the chances of that? Like, it's fucking mad.
I think her fault is up in the school. So I'm like, oh, maybe only real fighting is accepted in Innovation. You know what?
Funnily enough, I've been saying, as a part joke, the Mirtha Tydfil should have a statue of me, right?
They should.
But the problem is with Mirtha, there's five statues in Mirtha. The answer to the question, how do you get a statue in Mirtha? Violence is the answer, because they're all boxers. They're all boxers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember when I used to go see my brother, it was always the boxer. Then I was the only one that was like still pristine. It's like, oh, yeah, they don't touch them.
Yeah, I was thinking about asking, could I have a statue of myself? Because there's like them punching, like mid-punch, the boxer's mid-punch. Just have me on the end of it. Just put my statue right in front of the statue. That
was the one of you going through the table. You know, we like
yeah, people be like, look at this art installation. It looks like a human, but the shape is all wrong. Yeah, I know. It was.
Yeah, and then it's just a plaque and me saying Sean Smith.
Sean Smith.
Oh, he's not dead yet. Sean Smith, death, come in soon.
Well, Nixon, just a couple of very quick things before we let you go. Obviously, you've mentioned just kind of all the trouble with the visa and still wanting to get the best opportunities possible. There'll be so many people angry of us if we don't ask, but has there been any conversations with anyone as of late about something in the future? Obviously, you're not going to tell us everything, but I mean, I'm sure there's things in the works and there's things that you're kind of just talking to behind the scenes.
Because of the visa, there has been no conversations because we don't know how long it's going to take. You know, if I already had a green card, I'm sure there would be things in the work or things that have happened, but because I'm still waiting, we don't know how long it's going to be. It's nothing is in the works as of yet.
Okay. Well, let's fucking sort this visa out then, visa.
I know, right?
For fuck's sake.
I know.
If we all tweet at Visa, is that
no, because that's and then the credit company, and then the credit companies are like, oh, let's shut these cats down.
But with all that, is there anything else you'd kind of like to add that the people know about? I know you've been kind of working on Twitch things as well. Yeah. Is there anything you can share with us with that side?
I'm trying to start streaming, but honestly I'm having a bit of technical difficulties with getting the sound from the game to turn up on the actual stream, so I've got my friends coming over in the next week or so to help me fix that, and then there should be a stream up and going pretty soon because I've got a bunch of games that I want to play and just, you know, just connect with people again because I haven't really spoken to fans or anything for 8 months. Like, so I've been really quiet on social media because I have nothing to show, nothing to talk about. So, you know, hopefully I'll be streaming within the next couple of weeks or so.
Nice. Yeah. Where can people find you on social media and stuff and Twitch and
I think all my social media is at Nixon Newell, and then Twitch is Nixon Newell Official.
Sweet. Well, everybody get following them. Thank you very, very much for giving us your time today. This has been so fucking fun. And again, I love seeing the Welsh out and about doing things and fucking killing it. So congratulations on everything you've achieved so far. I'd imagine it's only going to get bigger and better. And I can't fucking wait to be like, she was on my fucking podcast. Look at her. She's in WrestleMania. What's she doing fighting Stephanie McMahon? What's going on here?
Just getting bitch slapped by Stephanie. I'd be like, that was my name too.
But honestly, thank you so much. This has been great. Your story and journey is so inspirational. And we just really appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, no, thank you for having me. It's been a blast and it killed a good hour of my day that would just add in fun, so I appreciate it.
You're listening to Sammy Podcast! Yes! Woo! Yes, fantastic there. Thank you very much, Nixon Newell, Tegan Knox, and any other names you may go by. Thank you very much. We enjoyed this immensely. It was very fun, very eye-opening. And I'm embarrassed to find out that all of the UK wrestlers have seen me nearly break my back and have lolled at me. But fair enough. Imagine if, like, one of them tried to be in a band and he fell over and it was very, very funny. I'd laugh at that. So.
You would. You would laugh. But they didn't almost break their back forever. So,
yeah, that's true. That is true. I should have had more sympathy, really, from the wrestling world. I'm surprised she hasn't shown it to Triple H, and then Triple H has gone, we need somebody who can fold himself in half like an accordion. Fold out boy, my name would be. Fold out boy. Fold in boy. Fold in boy. Because
This is more than I've bargained for. Yeah. Anyway, thank you so much, Nixon.
Sugar, we're going down.
Appreciate you taking the time to do this so much. As I said, this is like one of the only interviews she's done since her release from WWE. So the trust there really means a lot. She has so many amazing stories, and it's just nice to see how someone so far up in the wrestling business, in the industry, can incorporate things like music and comic books and movies like that and show off those loves and kind of have that huge crossover. I think wrestling has come to that point now where a lot of people feel more connected with athletes who are trying to cross over those things rather than just being scared of a massive person or whatnot. And I'm just really excited to see what happens next, whether it's returning to WWE or just all the other companies that are bound to want her to work from when all those visa problems are sorted out. So wishing her all the best with that. Again, make sure you keep up to date with everything that she is doing online and the Twitch and stuff like that as well.
Yes, I enjoyed this very, very much. Yeah, she's fucking excellent. And it was good to see how she started with a very neutral kind of slightly Welsh, slightly Floridian accent. And by the end of it, she's gone full fucking Valleys. Yes!
That's what we do. We get the Welsh out of people when they haven't been around for a while. But yeah, it's lovely to see someone who's from a place close to where we are go and live their dreams, travel the world, get out of here and literally perform in the biggest arenas in the world. She's performed at Madison Square Garden. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, no, I was thinking about it. Like, after we finished talking to her, I was just like, right, so we've just talked to a person from Bargoed, right, which is literally 5 miles away from where I live, if I ran in a straight line. And they have been, and I think probably will be again, a WWE super. Like, imagine telling 7-year-old Sean, right, who was absolutely obsessed with fucking The Ultimate Warrior and Macho Man Randy Savage and Bret the Hitman Hart, right, that somebody I know from 5 miles away is going to be in that world and is going to be loved by all those wrestlers as well. Like, fucking Shawn Michaels loves her. That's my favourite wrestler of all time. She knows Shawn Michaels. She's a bar guide.
It's mad. It's mad how it works. But if you're listening to this for the first time and you are a wrestling fan, then go and check out other wrestling episodes we've done in the past. We've had the likes of Matt Riddle, Adam Cole, Andy Williams, who's the Butcher in AEW, and our good friend Mark Andrews of Junior and WWE fame. And we just really enjoy having different episodes like this every once in a while. So if there's anyone in the music or alternative industries you think we should talk to, please let us know at SapninPod on Twitter and Instagram.
Yes, don't bother with TikTok. It's fucking dead. I've heard everybody stopped using TikTok now that we've stopped using it, so don't check TikTok. I fucking love finding out about other things that I don't know about. Learning. Basically, I've just said, I do love learning, I do, right? I do love hearing about people's jobs and that, right? That ain't normal ones. Fucking what an idiot I am. I'm sorry about this.
And if you'd like to support the podcast in any way, please go and check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/sapnin. That is honestly the best way to support us and keep this podcast going each and every week. There's loads of exclusive content over there from photos, videos, and even podcasts we haven't released to the public. And you get included into our wonderful community that interact, meet up with each other on the daily. It's literally the most beautiful thing to see. And this week we released a bonus podcast on there with our friend Josh Raven of The Fame, pop punk Australian band doing great things. So that's patreon.com/sapnin to check all of that out and be a part of our wonderful community.
Yes, please do. The community that we have cultivated so far. Cultivated? I sound like a cult leader then. The community that I've managed to fall for our trap so far. The community that we've cultivated so far is absolutely, absolutely amazing. And we can't thank those people enough. But now we're going to have to try and thank some of the people at the very top tiers. And they are as follows. Thank you very much, Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwaway, Janelle Caston. Congratulations, Janelle, on everything that's going on with you at the moment. I see you are absolutely killing it. I believe she's going on tour with the Wiggles.
Yes, I have seen that. That's silly.
Yes. So, Sapnin to the Wiggles. Janelle, give him a fucking tap up. Let's get the Wiggles on you, for fuck's sake. Thank you very much. Paul Hirschfield, Mitch Perry, Tony Michael, Dilly Grimwood, Kelly Irwin, Emma Barber, Nathan Croshaw, Natasha Morris, Sammy G, Kat Bess, and Dana Lazenova, Jenny Robertson, Murray Grimwood, Scott Jones, Kieran Olmey, Amy Dawson, Amy Louise, Tom Owen, Stuart McNaught, Kayla O'Sullivan, M. Evans Roberts, Caroline Robinson, Kate Puttock, Louis Cook, Martina McManus, Danny Eaton, Carl Pendlebury, James McNaught, Jenny Munster, Craig Harris, Jason Heredia, John and Emma, Emily Perry, Kelly Cannon, Kalila Keane, Adam Parslow. Ollie should probably say something funnier, Amesbury. It would be a first for him.
Ooh.
Thank you very much. Josh, what do you get if you boil a funny bone? Laughing stock. Have that, boys. I'm back. Crisp. Have that, boys. I'm back. I hope you had a good holiday, Josh. Alice Wood, Gary White, Reese Boring, Kate Stevenson, Kyle Musician in Denial. That rhymes. Oh, bro, change your one-man band name to Kyle Musician in Denial. David Smith. And last by no means, Connor Lewins and family. Thank you very much to all of those and everybody who's part of our Patreon. If you've ever been part of it, we appreciate you greatly. If you've thought about becoming part of it but haven't yet, you are a subhuman scum and you should get involved this week.
Yes, please do. Everyone in there is wonderful. It helps us out so much. And you generally meet new friends. So what's wrong with that, eh? No one can have enough friends. So go and do that. But another great episode, another wonderful insight. Absolutely love getting to do special ones like this. Thank you for everyone for listening this far. And we'll be back each and every Friday with a new episode, a new guest, and some ridiculous stories.
Yes, if you've got this far, prove it to me, right? By tweeting at SappeningPod on the Twitter, obviously, because that's where you tweet today, you fucking... sorry, I'm an idiot. Mine and Morgan's tag team special move should be called.
Ooh.
And just before any dirty bastards think I'm talking about some sexual moves... Yeah, give that a name too if you want. Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, that'll be fun to read through. Nice.
Dude, we do have a laugher. Sapnin!
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.